Harry Markopoulos sounded the alarm on Bernie Madoff. Now he's blowing the whistle on General Electric.
They're alleging massive accounting problems at GE's insurance holdings and its oil and gas unit, Baker Hughes, with the claim that the company is misrepresenting its financial condition.
And Israel bars two U.S. congresswomen from entering the country.
Israel says the decision was mainly due to the lawmaker's itinerary, but it seems like the timing between Trump's very, very pointed statements and the sudden reversal on Israel's part, it's hard to not link them.
This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. We'll have those stories in a moment. First, here are some other stories we're following. Shoppers gave the U.S. economy a solid boost last month. The Commerce Department said retail sales rose 0.7% in July, much better than expected. The Wall Street Journal's Harriet Torrey says the gains were across the board in the retail sector, and it sets the third quarter off on a strong footing with regard to consumer spending.
It shows that American shoppers have not been too worried or shocked or put off by trade tensions, and they are continuing to spend strongly.
But industrial production fell 0.4% last month, and Harriet says the big question is whether strong consumer spending can keep powering the economy, which faces headwinds, including trade tensions.
One thing that economists are saying today is that we have to keep a really close eye on the labor market because, of course, you know, most people get most of their income from wages and salaries, and that is what helps to power this consumer spending. So if we see signs of like employers adding jobs at a much slower pace or even cutting jobs, that could be when things really start to get a little worrying for economic growth.
The Wall Street Journal's Harriet Torrey. Walmart says sales rose in the second quarter and it raised its profit forecasts for the year. It extends Walmart's multi-year streak of growth as it takes market share from struggling competitors and expands online. Walmart's U.S. same-store sales grew 2.8% due to strong grocery sales online and off, and slightly more shoppers visiting stores and websites. Its e-commerce sales in the U.S. rose 37%. The British territory of Gibraltar released an Iranian tanker that it had impounded last month. That opens the way for Tehran to free a British-flagged vessel it subsequently seized. A Gibraltar government spokesman said the decision came after a last-minute U.S. request to seize the tanker itself, prompting Gibraltar's Supreme Court to delay its ruling on the vessel's detention by several hours. Gibraltar's government said authorities would separately consider the U.S. request. Gibraltar seized the Iranian tanker in early July with the assistance of Britain, which said it was carrying 2 million barrels of oil to Syria in violation of European Union sanctions. Iran denied that. British authorities released the tanker after Tehran assured that the cargo wouldn't be sent there. Harry Markopoulos was the accounting expert who blew the whistle on Bernie Madoff's massive Ponzi scheme. Now Markopoulos has a new target, General Electric. A group headed by Markopoulos posted a research report online Thursday alleging GE has masked the depths of its problems, resulting in inaccurate and fraudulent filings with regulators. The report, which is more than 170 pages long, was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. Joining us with more is the Journal's Tom Greida. Tom, you say the report by Markopoulos combined detailed financial analysis and sweeping claims. What did he tell you his group found?
They're alleging massive accounting problems at GE's insurance holdings and its oil and gas unit, Baker Hughes, with the claim that the company is misrepresenting its financial condition.
Specifically, the allegations focus around GE's long-term care insurance holdings and its Baker Hughes oil and gas business, right? And they attach massive amounts of money to how it needs to bolster its reserves.
Right. So this is a business that has been a problem for GE. They got into these policies years ago. They've had to commit $15 billion over 7 years to these just a few years ago. And now Markopoulos is saying that they went in and did an analysis and that they actually need GE needs to put $18.5 billion more on top of that, plus take a large $10.5 billion charge.
How much more? $18.5 billion?
$18.5 billion in cash, plus an accounting charge of $10.5 billion.
What about the oil and gas business, Tom?
Sure. They're alleging that GE is improperly accounting for their holdings essentially, GE is, because they own a majority stake in that business, they're consolidating the operations, meaning they're recording all the revenue and the cash flow from that operation. Markopoulos' group is saying that is not proper. It should be accounted for as a investment, which means you're recording the changes of the value of that holding and not the financial results of the business into your own. And so he's saying because of that, they should restate recent years' results.
Tom, isn't Markopoulos working with a hedge fund, which is betting GE stock will fall and that his group will get a portion of any trading proceeds?
Indeed, he is. He has given access to a hedge fund that he won't name. He said it's a mid-size U.S.-based hedge fund. They had early access to their research and are presumably shorting GE stock so that they will benefit off a decline in the price, which today we're seeing a substantial decline in the price. Markopoulos' group will get a portion of the proceeds that the hedge fund makes, but Markopoulos is not disclosing any of the details around that, saying that it's part of his agreement with his hedge fund. He is saying that this is his way of getting paid for his work. He's a professional whistleblower of sorts and often has to wait for government processes to carry through before he gets paid if he finds a fraud. And so he's saying by using this strategy, he can get paid right away. Obviously, this is a source of criticism by the company
Sure. And
by folks on Wall Street as well.
Yeah. In fact, General Electric mentions that in its response, you know, which includes a vehement denial.
Absolutely. General Electric is denying everything that Markopoulos is asserting here. They're saying that he never even came to them while doing this research because they may be able to help guide him through some of the work he did. And they're saying that it's misleading, and this short position or this hedge fund he's working with shows the bias that he has in conducting this work.
Tom, how has General Electric done lately in terms of its business and its stock price?
Well, the stock price has been sort of cruising along at $10 or so, you know, a little up or a little down. But in recent days, it has come down. There's obviously been some broader market volatility, and then this report is hitting it as well. But on the operations, the second quarter report, they are saying that they're starting to see some stability in their power business, which is the part of the business that has really dragged them down in recent years. So, you know, with their new CEO, been there almost a year, you know, he's trying to turn this around, and he's been very cautious and said it's going to take a few years, but they are, you know, they raised their financial guidance for the first time in years. So they're showing some signs, or at least signaling some signs of optimism.
Let's talk about the Securities and Exchange Commission for a bit. Markopoulos warned the SEC about Madoff's investment scheme for years before it became public. Now, does he plan to present his report to the SEC and, you know, other regulators or investigators?
He does. He plans to meet or has already met with the SEC to provide his research, as well as the Department of Justice. And he also says that there are parts of his research that he is not including in the report, that he's only providing to law enforcement. Now, we don't know what that is. Now, that's a pretty spectacular claim, and, you know, it's hard to gauge what that means. Again, he's a whistleblower. He would be seeking awards from the DOJ and the SEC if indeed a fraud is found.
And we should mention GE is already under investigation by the SEC and the Justice Department for potential accounting issues.
Yes, and they have been for a while, including the insurance business and the process that they went through in reviewing these holdings, which is the very thing that Markopoulos is criticizing. He doesn't focus on the power business, which is another area where GE has some accounting issues that are under investigation.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tom Greida. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Two U.S. representatives who've been outspoken critics of Israel will not be permitted to enter the country this weekend. We spoke with the Wall Street Journal's Felicia Schwartz, who's based in Tel Aviv. Felicia, Israel has barred U.S. Congresswomen Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar from entering Israel. And didn't this follow pressure from President Trump?
Yeah. So President Trump this morning had a quite pointed tweet encouraging Israel to go ahead and do this. There's been some conversation here in recent days that Israel might back away from an announcement it made last month that it would let the congresswomen in. Israel says the decision was mainly due to the lawmakers' itinerary, but it seems like the timing between Trump's very, very pointed statements and the sudden reversal on Israel's part, it's hard to not link them. Netanyahu faces re-election in September, and one of the things he's campaigned on is a strong relationship with President Trump. And President Trump, before his last election in April, made some moves to really help Netanyahu. Before the vote, he recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. President Trump hosted Netanyahu at the White House. And I think there's some speculation here that Netanyahu is counting on Trump again to offer him some sort of gesture before the election. And there's a feeling that Netanyahu wouldn't want to do anything to piss Trump off. But officially, Israel says that the decision had more to do with the itinerary of the lawmakers.
Also, wasn't another factor the congresswomen's support for boycotting Israel? I think the deputy foreign minister made this on Israeli public radio.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, yes, that they're supporters of boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. Israel passed a law recently that it has the authority to deny entry to the country based on those grounds. They cited this law when saying that they wouldn't let these lawmakers in, and they pointed to her itinerary, which they said was a visit to Palestine, not Israel, that skipped any official meetings with Israeli government or opposition members. And Israel said its interpretation of this itinerary, which hasn't been made available yet, they felt it was fueling this boycott movement.
Isn't the most unusual aspect of this affair, Felicia, Mr. Trump's tweet? That's a rather unusual request.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty unprecedented and unheard of move by an American president to encourage an ally to crack down on his political opponents. I used to cover the State Department, and I know American diplomats take care to try to keep politics out of international relations. We're seeing a different approach here. And I think it's causing definitely a lot of concern, at least in some court diplomatic circles in Israel and also in the U.S., in addition to Democrats who see these actions as an intensification of a process to make Israel a wedge issue.
Thanks, Felicia. That's Wall Street Journal Israel and Palestinian Territories correspondent Felicia Schwartz. And that's What's News for Thursday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.